Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 29, Text 27.
Atamam sarvabhuteshu.
Bhutatmanam kritalayam.
Ahaye dhanamanabhyam.
Maitriya vinena chakshusha.
Atamam sarvabhuteshu.
Bhutatmanam kritalayam.
Ahaye dhanamanabhyam.
Maitriya vinena chakshusha.
Atamam sarvabhuteshu.
Bhutatmanam kritalayam.
Ahaye dhanamanabhyam.
Maitriya vinena chakshusha. Word for word. Atta. Therefore. Mam. Me. Sarvabhuteshu. In all creatures. Bhuta atmanam. The self in all beings. Krita alayam. Abiding. Ahayet. One should propitiate. Dhanamanabhyam.
Through charity and respect.
Maitriya.
Through friendship.
Abhinena.
Equal.
Chakshusha.
By viewing.
Translation. Therefore, through charitable gifts and attention, as well as through friendly behavior, and by viewing all to be alike, one should propitiate me, who abide in all creatures as their very self. Translation, please repeat. Therefore, through charitable gifts and attention,
as well as through friendly behavior,
and by viewing all to be alike,
one should propitiate me,
who abide in all creatures
as their very self.
Purport. It should not be misunderstood that because the super soul is dwelling within the heart of a living entity, the individual soul has become equal to him. The equality of the super soul and the individual soul is misconceived by the impersonalists. Here it is distinctly mentioned that the individual soul should be recognized in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The method of worshipping the individual soul is described here as either giving charitable gifts or behaving in a friendly manner, free from any separatist outlook. The impersonalist sometimes accepts a poor individual soul as being Daridra Narayana, meaning that Narayana, the Supreme Personality of God, has become poor. This is a contradiction. The Supreme Personality of God is full in all opulences. He can agree to live with a poor soul or even within an animal. But this does not make him poor. There are two Sanskrit words used here, mana and dana. Mana indicates a superior, and dana indicates one who gives charitable gifts or is compassionate towards an inferior. We cannot treat the Supreme Personality of Godhead as an inferior who is dependent on our charitable gifts. When we give charity, it is to a person who is inferior in his material or economic condition. Charity is not given to a rich man. Similarly, it is explicitly stated here that mana, respect, is offered to a superior and charity is offered to an inferior. The living entities, according to different results of fruitive activities, may become rich or poor, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is unchangeable. He is always full in six opulences. Treating a living entity equally does not mean treating him as one would treat the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Compassion and friendliness do not necessitate falsely elevating someone to the exalted position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We should not, at the same time, misunderstand that the supersoul situated in the heart of an animal like a hog and the supersoul situated in all living entities is the same supreme... The supersoul situated in the heart of a learned Brahmana are different. The supersoul in all living entities is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. By his omnipotency, he can live anywhere, and he can create his Vaikuntha situation everywhere. That is his inconceivable potency. Therefore, when a Narayana is living in the heart of a hog, he does not become a hog Narayana. He is always Narayana, and is unaffected by the body of the hog. Atamam sarvabhuteshu bhutatmanam kritalayam ahayedanamanabhyam maitrabhinena chakshusha. Therefore, through charitable gifts and attention, as well as through friendly behavior and by viewing all to be alike, one should propitiate me who abide in all creatures as their very self. So Lord Kapila Dev is continuing to give instruction to his mother Devahuti. It's a wonderful situation that the son can instruct the mother. Generally is the other way. But Lord Kapila Dev, he is not ordinary. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, very interestingly, the story of Kadama Muni and Devahuti, we were just... in Adelaide, and also in Perth, there they are speaking of Kadama Muni and Devahuti. And of course, Kadama Muni, a very exalted rishi, a Mahayogi, and a great devotee. He was a direct son of Lord Brahma, set from the shadow of Lord Brahma. Now, when Lord Brahma, the first created being, Garbhadakshay Vishnu is lying in the Garbhadak ocean at the bottom of the universe. That you cannot see him. He is invisible to the material eyes. In the Garbhadak ocean, you cannot see that thing. Invisible to the material. But yet, he is lying. And from his navel comes the lotus flower, and atop Lord Brahma is born. Now, we know the subject matters of the Srimad Bhagavatam. 10 subject matters of the Bhagavatam, starting with Shaga and Vishaga. Shaga means the creation that is originally coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Original creation, all elements, all the energies, living entities are there with him, they are coming. This is called Shaga. And then there's Vishaga, means secondary creation, that is given to Lord Brahma. The more specific things, how to arrange the planetary systems, all the different types of beings and population of the universe, that is called the Vishaga, that is secondary. Original is with Narayana, with Lord Vishnu. Of course, beyond this world, there is the spiritual, all the full of the Vaikuntha and all the different Vishnu forms of the Lord, and then we have the Krishna Loka, where Krishna is enjoying all the Leela. But within this world and in every of the universes, that the Lord expands as comes of the Garbhadaksha Vishnu. So Brahma is empowered to expand and rearrange everything, and from his he can create. He's so powerful. He's so powerful in the with his mystic powers, so to speak. You know, that he can create from his mind. He can create from any part of his body. Very wonderful thing. This is more elaborate, or actually in this third canto, I don't know if it was before, probably in the other part of this canto. that the creation from Brahma, Manasaputra, Manasaputra, just from the mind of Brahma, so many beings were created. And from the different parts of the body of Brahma, so many beings. So Kadama Muni was coming from the body of Brahma, like it said, from the shadow of Lord Brahma, Kadama Muni was created. Now right from the beginning, he was a great rishi, a great yogi. And he was very detached, very detached. He was practicing tapasya by the Saraswat River. And he just lived in a leaf hut. Leaf hut. He didn't care for any residents. Leaf hut. But his father, Brahma, said, ordered him, you have to help populate the universe. In other words, you're living detached, yogi, maha-yogi. But now you should get married. So, and populate the universe. So he followed this instruction, and to achieve success, he went into tapasya and meditation and meditated on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. He was a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. And he meditated on Lord Vishnu, seeking to have his darshan. So after a long time, the Lord was pleased with him. He appeared to him. And he was so overwhelmed that he felt very ashamed even that the Lord had come on, you know, to meet with him personally. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would have a saying, don't try to see God, but act in such a way that God will want to see you. So here was a situation that God wanted to see Kadama Muni. So he offered many prayers, and he said to the Lord that, I know in front of you, one should not ask for the material things, because you are the supreme pavitram, pure, you are the spiritual, you are the origin of all. One should actually just be desirous of serving you. But still I have one request. My father asked me to get married and help populate the universe, and I'm wanting a very nice wife. And so the Lord, he understood. He said, yes, I know your mind, and I know the situation. So I you will be married to a very, very qualified girl. Very, very qualified. And you will have some nice children. I myself will appear again in your as your son. I will appear as your son. You are so nice. So how elevated is Kadama Muni, that the Lord appears as his son. And we're reading now, Lord Kapila is the son of Kadama Muni. So the Lord disappeared from the view of, after saying this, the Lord disappeared from the view of Kadama Muni, and Kadama Muni was so overwhelmed. And in the meantime, of course, from Lord Brahma also, was he expanded, and the first Manu, Svambhuva Manu and Satarupa, his queen, appeared directly from the body of Lord Brahma. And he asked them also to help populate the universe. They were the first. He was the first Manu in the day of Brahma. Svayambhuva Manu. Now, there are many Manus. They live a long time. They live like 72 millions of years. Each Manu. Millions earth years. So we're lucky in Kali Yuga if we live 100. That's very rare. But the Manus, they live 72 millions of years. And then another Manu comes. Another. They have to oversee everything. They have to give the instruction for the humankind. Now we're in the Vaiveshvata Manu. But before there was the Svayambhuva Manu. He was the first. And they had the children. They had Uttanapada Priyavrata as the sons. They had three daughters, and one daughter was Devahuti. She was a very exceptional girl. Princess, of course, she was a king, emperor, Svayambhuva Manu. So she was highly educated, very beautiful. Very, very beautiful. There was one story I remember reading, that one of the Gandharvas was flying over the palace of Svayambhuva Manu, and Devahuti was on the roof just playing with the ball. But this Gandharva was flying in his aeroplane, and when he saw her, he was so overwhelmed by her beauty, he fell out of his plane. Unconscious. So she was so beautiful. But at the same time, she was a great devotee. Both Svayambhuva Manu and Sadarupa were great devotees, very great devotees of Lord Vishnu. They did their duty. Svayambhuva did his duty as the emperor, and Manu and Sadarupa did her duty as the queen. But they were great devotees. First and foremost, they were great devotees. And she was a very great devotee. She was also very proficient in yoga practice. And she was very very detached, actually. Even though she was a royal princess and had every type of luxury, anything she wanted, she could get that thing. But she was very detached and had very wonderful qualities, and also a master of yoga. And when she heard about Kadama Muni, from Narad Muni one time was visiting Svayambhuva Manu and Satarupa. Narad Muni was visiting. Narad Muni is one of the, he knows everything. And he was talking, and he knew that Kadama Muni was meant to, and he knew that the Lord had told Kadama Muni. Yeah. So he was speaking, and he was glorifying Kadama Muni. How wonderful devotee he is. Everything like that. So she became very attracted just by hearing about him. She became very attracted to him and affectionate. And she, after some time, expressed her desire to her parents. So her parents immediately thought this was very good. This is very unusual, because Svayambhuva Manu, Satarupa, emperor and empress, and the daughters of princess. Kadama Muni lives in a hut. Leaf hut, not even like a cottage. Not like wooden cottage. Leaf hut. Had nothing. So normally the parents, you know, when they want to get their daughter married, they want to see, who is the one marrying. What are the prospects of this one? Is he going to be able to provide for my daughter, what career does he have? What education does he have? How much money is he making? Will he be able to give good house? Everything like that. But this one, Kadama Muni, didn't have anything. Nor did it look like he had any prospects either. He didn't care for anything. But immediately they agreed to the idea. Immediately, just so what great devotees they were, the parents. Because they knew, first and foremost to them, they knew he was a very great devotee. Also, his parentage was very high, also son of Lord Brahma. So they were actually related. But they knew he was so advanced, and they knew the daughter's temperament also. They thought this is a good match. So they didn't think that, he's not qualified. We're not going to give our daughter. She's a princess. Why is she living in the hut? What is he going to do for our daughter? It's a bad thing. No, we don't give the permission. You will not marry. But immediately, without any hesitation, yes, very good. Very good. And so they personally went with her to speak to him. She was in the back. And they went, the emperor went, and when he went, he paid his obeisances to Kadama Muni. Now, he's the emperor paying it. And Kadama Muni, although actually the Brahmana rishis like that, they were above the kings and kshatriyas, but he paid his obeisances to Svayambhuva Manu. He was the emperor, a representative of God. So they both paid their obeisances to each other, like that. And so then Svayambhuva Manu presented, Satarupa presented and said, we have a very eligible daughter, and she's heard about you, and we think that this has been suggested that will you accept her as your wife? And of course Kadama already knew, and he said, yes, this is very nice. He told the whole story. And so everything was done right there. The marriage ceremony, everything was performed right at that spot. All because the king came with a big retinue of brahmanas, everything. So everything was available, and right there. And then Svayambhuva Manu, after the wedding, and Satarupa, they just went back and they left their daughter there. They left their daughter there with Kadama Muni. Now Kadama Muni had made one condition on the marriage. He said that, yes, very nice, but I'm practicing tapasya and meditation, after I give your daughter a son, then I want to go back to that. I don't want to continue in the grihastha life. So they agreed to that condition after the son was there, because the son looks after the mother. This is the tradition. So then they were living like that, and Devahuti served the husband. She immediately accepted the life the lifestyle of a husband wholeheartedly. There was no thought of complaint, you know, well, now we're married, let's go back and live in the palace. You know, what are we doing here? We could be living nice life, you know, with my father, can give us our own palace. She wasn't thinking like that. She immediately now subordinated herself. This is very unpopular these days. Subordinated herself, but just understanding, this was the ancient Vedic system. She subordinated herself to the position, the lifestyle of the husband. She just accepted it. She accepted it. And we were just reading in Adelaide, very interesting a purport by Srila Prabhupada, where he talks about the human being and the animals. The human being is naturally in a superior position because of developed intellect to be able to understand God and the spiritual thing. But there is many similarities between the humans and the animals. Animals eat, animals mate, we mate, animals sleep, we sleep, animals defend, we defend. So the similarities. Of course, the animals, their intellect is not sufficiently developed to understand the spiritual things, but that's the difference. But the similarities are there. And also in the psychology. The psychology is that generally speaking, in the animal species, you find that the males are bigger and stronger, and therefore they want to be in the dominant position because of their bodily construction. It affects the psychology, and then the male in the different species of life who is bigger and stronger likes to be in the dominant position and is in the dominant because of his strength. Of course, there are some exceptions, you know, like, for example, you know, like the female anaconda apparently is, it's just like twice the size of the male. So in that instance, the male subordinates himself. The male will subordinate himself. It's like there's some species of spider, the female is huge and the male is very small. So the male, you know, when they come to mate, he has to be very careful. Sometimes the female eats the male. So, you know, and also I've heard also the hyena, the female hyena, she's big and the male is more small. And so the male subordinates himself. So that psychology is there. So, but they're the exceptions. You know, generally the male is the more bigger and stronger, and then they dominate, and the females subordinate themselves. So they just do that because they just know that physically they're in the weaker position, but also it affects the psychology. So they just go along, even though they may be, you know, may able to do better things than the male species or whatever have you. So Prabhupada explained like that, that in the human form, that comes over, unless one is very, very high spiritual, but that comes up. But, you know, and that comes over. Therefore, Devahuti recognized that my husband is the male in a dominant position, and he's described like this. The very great Mahayogi Kadama, very great devotee, Kadama Muni, and along with his very great wife, Devahuti, made a very nice couple. But she subordinated herself to the life of her husband. In other words, she was a princess, but she lived the life of a brahmana and in a very poverty condition, and she just accepted it. She accepted it. She not only just, but and didn't accept it begrudgingly, she accepted it enthusiastically. Enthusiastically, and she began, you know, because the brahmanas, and he was living area also, many brahmanas were there. This was mentioned that Swayambhuva Manu and Satarupa, when they left, they saw all the hermitages of all the sages and the brahmanas, are very wonderful on the bank of the river, very beautiful, very peaceful, and the king very much appreciated. Well, there were many there, and in the morning they get up early, and they do their, you know, they take their bath, and they come and they chant the mantras, they do the yajna, they have their whole lifestyle. They have their whole life. So she lived that life, and she served, and she helped, and assisted him in that life. Although she was very equal to him in many ways, but she just served him. And of course there was reciprocation between the husband and the wife. And later on it is mentioned that Kadama Muni was so thankful to his wife, and he said, "You're a princess and you've accepted this life for me, and I very much appreciate it." And he felt great compassion. He felt very sorry for her because he saw that she'd become very skinny, just neglecting her own health. And so he knew that he had to have the children. So by his mystic power, he created an aerial mansion that could fly through the universe. And he went to all the... And there he just bedecked it with all sorts of fine houses. And this aerial mansion had many different places of pleasure houses in the aerial mansion itself. He created, because he had to have a more conjugal relationship with. So he created a nice atmosphere, and it can go to all the pleasure places of the universe. So they had eight daughters. And they were flying for many years like that. They had eight daughters. And then they had the son, and of course that son was Lord Kapila. And so when the son came, as he grew up a little bit, then the Kadama said, "Now, you know, I made that condition. Now I'll go back to my tapasya and my meditation." So then Lord Kapila, they've almost immediately became like full-grown son. This was the position. He is the Supreme Personality of God. So now Devahuti were coming to... I'll just give a little bit of historical background. Because it's a very wonderful story, and how the Lord had previously come to Kadama Muni and told him, "Yes, you will get, I bless you to have a very nice wife." And to have a very nice wife, in that section also is mentioned that generally it is considered if one has nice house, nice children, a lot of money, good job, good wife, these are very wonderful assets. But of them all, the best one is the nice wife. If you could have just one thing, the nice wife would be the first priority above all the other things. Kadava Muni very much appreciated his wonderful wife Devahuti. Now she is left with Lord Kapila Dev, and Lord Kapila Dev is looking after, and especially now just see how advanced Devahuti is, because she's asking all sorts of, just the nature of her questions just shows how advanced she is. I mean, who can ask questions like this? It just shows that she's very knowledgeable, just to ask these types of questions from Kadama Muni. And then Lord Kapila Dev. And so she's asking the questions, and the Lord Kapila Dev is answering explanation of the devotional service. First of all, he starts with a little bit of an analytical, you know, difference between what is the prakriti, what is the soul, the atma, and all these things. There's a look at like a little bit of the Sankhya Yoga. Lord Kapila is famous as explaining in the Sankhya Yoga. But now he's describing what is the Bhakti Yoga. The Bhakti Yoga. The Bhakti Yoga is in high position. Krishna in Bhagavad Gita talks about the prakriti and the atma. And then the different duties, and then the karma, the activities, and then the karma yoga, how to do the activities in yoga, in spiritual life, and then even dhyana yoga, the meditation, and all this stuff. And then he goes to the raja, and then bhakti. I remember here Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and someone said, "Your divine grace, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that raja yoga, that is the king. And Raja, Vidya, Raja. And Prabhupada said, "Yes, Raja is the king, but Bhakti is the emperor." He said, "King is always subordinate to emperor." So Bhakti is topmost. So now Lord Kapila is speaking of the Bhakti Yoga. The yoga of the love. Love is actually the natural position. God is the love, and we have the love. So how to come to that love position, we have a kind of superficial reflection of it in the material world, you know, between mother and children, father and children, and friends and so on, and husband and wife. But it's not so deep, because it changes continually. Someone was your friend last week, you know, can become your enemy. Some disagreement, all of a sudden, enemies, perhaps you never talk to each other again, that's it. Right? The husband and the wife, you know, "I love you, I love you." Then 6 months later, "I hate you, I never want to see you again." So that love is, that's a shadowy reflection, you know, shallow, superficial, doesn't go that deep. It's just based on the external things and so on. And so, you know, people are frustrated, and you know, it's a you know, very disappointing. It can be very disappointing. But spiritual love is very, very deep, and that actually is personified in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and our relationship with Him is meant to come to that position. So, how to attain it? Lord Kapila Dev gives a process. One who worships the deity. Once you worship the deity in the temple, he starts off with the what is the nature and what is the soul, and then within each one is the super soul. How to understand the super soul? You perform different type of practice, and he talks about worshiping the deity in the temple and how to worship the deity. I think is mentioned earlier on. Yes, earlier on, a devotee must execute his prescribed duties. He should regularly see my statues in the temple, touch my lotus feet, and offer worshipable paraphernalia and prayer. This is the description. Should regularly come and see the deity in the temple. Offer the different paraphernalia, just like we're doing here, and we offer the prayers to the Lord, isn't it? He should see in the spirit of renunciation, and then he goes on. He should give respect to the spiritual master, give respect to the acharyas, be compassionate to the poor, make friendship with the persons who are his equals. All the activities should be executed under regulation with control of the senses. So very nice. He should be straightforward in his behavior, very simple. Keep company with those who are spiritually advanced. Avoid the company of not those who are not very spiritually advanced. So on and so forth. So very nice instruction there. What is the process of coming to the position of love of God, which is considered the topmost position. Just follow these things. But at the same time, one should be careful. There should be a certain attitude. One should be very careful. And in the previous verse, very interestingly, Lord Kapila says, one should continue to worship the deity until he doesn't see any difference between the deity and me, and me in all things. Very interesting. He doesn't see any difference. And someone who sees the difference is not in the proper position. Performing the prescribed duties, one should worship the deity of the personality until one realizes my presence in his own heart and in the hearts of all living entities as well. In his own heart. And one should give... Now, coming to today's verse, one should give charitable gifts and attention through friendly behavior. Viewing all to be alike, one should propitiate me, who abide in all creatures as their very self. This understanding. Now, in the neophyte stage, one will worship Krishna, but one may not be very, very disposed to anyone else. This is a very neophyte position. One sees God in the temple, but as soon as we go outside the temple, then we don't see God anywhere else. I remember Prabhupada was walking Japawalk on the beach, and one disciple told Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I find sometimes difficult when I'm walking on the beach. I find it difficult to think of Krishna." And Prabhupada said, "Oh, when I walk on the beach, I just think of Krishna. I see the sea, I think Krishna. I see the sand, I think Krishna. I see the sun, I think Krishna." So it's a development of the consciousness. So in the neophyte stage, one will make distinction. Some will see, that this is the statue of God. And Prabhupada used the word statue, actually. and for a reason, because some will see like that. This is the statue of God, but of course God is in his realm. But now the statue is there, and we can, you know, come and as the representative of God, then we can offer like that, and God appreciates that thing. But someone who's more advanced will not see a statue, will see that God can come in the deity. There's many wonderful stories of the deity, the Archavigraha, actually having relationship with his devotee. God is everywhere, can appear in anything. Why not he can actually come in the form of the deity, the Archavigraha? But he reciprocates according to the worshipper, to the level of the love of the worshipper. We know in Vrindavan, in Banki Bihari temple, that famous story that the founder of, what was it, Haridas Swami, who founded that temple, you know, they open and close that curtain all the time. You can't have long darshan when you go in there, the most popular temple in Vrindavan. So they open the curtain and they close again. And everyone says, and then they close. Like that. But then the story was that Haridas Swami, he had to go, he was worshipping so lovingly his deity, Banki Bihari, that the Lord was very affectionate to him in his Archavigraha form. And then one day he had to go away at a distance to do some other business, and when he left, the Lord missed him so much that when the pujaris came in the next morning, the deity was gone. And they found him on the road, as if on the same road that Haridaswami had taken. He was following him. So then they brought him back and put him back on the altar. And then to avoid him jumping off again, just he sees some devotee who wants to jump off, they open him. That's why they do like that. They don't want to let him look too long, just in case he wants to jump off again. That's the story I was told like that. So in many instances, you know, and that Sanatan Goswami, when he brought, when Krishna came, he had the little Krishna, came, he, that Chobe, the Brahmana who had in Mathura in his home, and then he came to Sanatan Goswami, and Sanatan Goswami was just living under the tree, and he had the deity in the tree, and he didn't have any money or anything, so he was just cooking some japati and some like that. And then one time the deity spoke to him and said, you can't put any salt in the chapati or any salt in the sabji. He spoke, he said like that to him. And then Sanatan Goswami said, oh, salt, I'm just a poor man, where I can get salt? Today you want salt, tomorrow you want sugar, ghee, everything. So he was having a whole conversation with his deity. So the deities themselves are manifestations of the Supreme Personality of God. In Auckland, one devotee asked me one question. He said, why is it that the devotees, you know, when they travel around, they sometimes come up to you, oh, Prabhuji, here's a Mahaprasadam from Radhamadav in Maipur, Racham Sundar in Vrindavan, Mahaprasad. And so the devotee said, well, you know, we're here, we get the Mahaprasad from Radhagirit Hari. So what is the difference between the Radhamadav Prasadam and all the prasadam from... I said, no, the Lord expands himself in the Vaikuntha and he expands himself as Archavigraha. So actually all these Archavigraha, these forms of the Lord and the deity are all separate individual personalities in themselves. In themselves they are. Radha Balabha Prasadam will be different from Radha Gopinath Prasadam. Because Radha Balabha has tasted that prasadam and he is... same Krishna, but different Krishna. He's Radha Balabha. And Radha Gopinath in... And the Radhas are different also. This is Radha from the Sydney Mandir. So Radha Prasad will be different. She's Radha, and this one's Radha, but that's Radha there. And this is Radha here. Understand? So here is Balabha, and there is Gopinath. They're different. They're tasting. There's different taste even. So when devotees come and he is Lord Jagannath Prasad, or he is different. So yes, oh, this one, this prasadam is the mercy of the Krishna there. So it was a great, we're very fortunate to be able to, so that's why the devotees are very eager. Oh yes, thank you. Because how, maybe you will not have a chance to go to that place. You know? Radha Govinda, New York, maybe you'll never go to New York. But then someone comes to Radha Govinda prasadam, oh yes, maybe I'll never go there. Now I'm getting the mercy from Radha Govinda. That far place, I'm getting the mercy. So we understand that someone who's very neophyte will just see statue. Someone more advanced will see, actually, here is Krishna. Here is Jagannath. Here is Gaur Nithai. Here. They are not just statue. The Lord has entered into and become. He is that personality. But then there may be some difference. Of course, if someone who's realized that, come to that platform, then he will see Krishna everywhere. He will not just, when he goes outside, he will see Krishna in all bodies. He will see, therefore he is respectful to all. It's not that, you know, someone is respectful to Krishna and maybe Guru, but is disrespectful to devotee. This is a neophyte. Or he's respectful to Krishna, Guru, devotee, but he's disrespectful to the Kamis. They're not devotee. I can say anything to them. You understand? No, they also, Krishna is within them. Krishna is within the devotee. Krishna is within them, and Krishna is in the ant. So therefore, someone who's very advanced will be respectful to all. But then again, therefore it is mentioned here, therefore one should give charitable gifts, one should be friendly to all, not just the devotees, not just at the temple, but to anyone. I saw with Prabhupada, he was just friendly to all. You know, I remember reading in the Prabhupada Lilamrita, where Satsuri Maharaj wrote, but Prabhupada's early days in New York, they were had the place in the Bowery where all the drunks were there and everything like that. And Prabhupada one time spoke a very long time with a homeless man who was speaking to him, a very homeless man. And some of the devotees said, Prabhupada, you know, these are all homeless men, you know, like that, you know, and maybe you should avoid, you know. He said, no, he is also, he actually was a doctor before. He said, when I heard his story, before he was a doctor, but now he's in the hard times. He's just living in the street. And there was another story where Bobo was giving the class in 22nd Avenue, and then some, looked like some drunk just broke in and then disrupted the whole class and just came inside, and then what did he put on the table or something like that? What? Toilet paper. Huh? Toilet paper. He gave toilet paper and he put it on the table, and then some of the devotees were a little upset. They wanted to remove him, and then Prabhupada just said, no, he is doing his service. Right? That's the story. He's doing his service. So the very advanced devotee sees God in everyone, and therefore, you know, and then treats them. Then Kapila Muni gives instruction. We see the advanced devotee sees God in everyone, then treats everyone with respect, but at the same time distinguishes between different living entities, not spiritually, but you know, now they're in a material form, now they have a material body. You know, just like I'm talking with you and you're talking to me, but then if the tiger came, you know, you would be very careful about having, you know, a very intimate discussion with the tiger. I remember the story, Prabhupada went to someone took him to the Hyderabad Zoo one day. He went for the Japa walk, and they took him through the Hyderabad Zoo, and they went over to the crocodile section there. They were looking in, there was water, they didn't see anything. All of a sudden some eyes came up. And then the crocodile came out. And then Prabhupada says, see, we are looking at him very fascinated. Oh, look at the crocodile. He is looking at us. Oh, here is dinner. So we make distinction. The soul is the same. So every soul is the same, the all spirit soul. But now they're in the different body. So at least that much intelligence we should understand. Not that, oh, we become a little impersonal. Oh, then everything is Krishna and everything is saw everyone's soul, therefore we just walk into the crocodile cage or something like that. No. We have to be intelligent. Yes, they're all spirit soul, but now in different bodies, so we have to adjust accordingly. And here also is mentioned that just like in giving in charity, you have to be, yes, everyone is God who's in there. They are their spirit soul. We see everyone. We give. And to give charity, we have to give it appropriately. You know, you don't give charity to the rich person. Why does the rich person need the charity? You give the charity to the poor persons. So accordingly, be friendly. How to be friendly? How to be friendly with this one, that one? Just accordingly to the person's position within the material world. But always keeping, giving respect and understanding God is within them. They are the spirit soul, but just accordingly. And sometimes some people doesn't want to have exchange. So therefore, you know, you have to understand that thing also. You understand? It's just sometimes just common sense. But also Prabhupada makes a point here in his purport of emphasizing that we should not mistake that God is within all, and then the spirit soul is equal to the God. God is within everyone, the soul is within him. Or sometimes the mistake is made that I am the God. Sometimes in the Patanjali yoga system, the yogis are meditating on God within, and sometimes they are coming to the conclusion they are seeing God within, and they think that they are the God within. Or the soul is equal to God, or they become merged with the God within. No, this is misunderstanding. So Prabhupada makes a point of it here, emphasizes this point. We should not think that we have become God. The soul is spiritual. We can never become powerful position like God. And he says, he gives the example of the possessor of all opulence, Bhagavan. God has the, Parasara Muni gives the definition of Bhagavan. Someone, what is the six opulences of God? Who can say one? What is one of the opulences of God?
Strength,
beauty, fame, renunciation, knowledge, and wealth. All wealth. These are the six opulence. So it is said that one who possesses all these things unlimitedly, maybe someone can have the strength, maybe you can have two or three, maybe you can have all, but unlimitedly, you unlimitedly have these things, you have unlimited strength. If you want to get up and say, I am the God, well, I remember in Calcutta, Prabhupada was giving a lecture and the whole lecture was about how Krishna is the supreme, how everything emanates. And then at the end of the lecture, one man said, Swami, I think I'm the God. And I was sitting there thinking, was this man listening actually to the lecture? But anyway, so then Prabhupada was silent. And then he said, tell me one thing, do you ever suffer? And the man said, Swami, sometimes I'm suffering. He said, the difference between you and Krishna, you are suffering God. And he is enjoying God. This is how he answered. Prabhupada was at the answer for him. So therefore, don't make mistake that you are God now. The soul is God. God is God. Unlimited. If you were unlimited, all-knowing, knowing everything, we don't know anything. We don't even know how many hairs on our body, how many hairs you have. Can you say? How many hairs? You are God. What type of God are you? You don't even know. You can't even control your bowel movement, let alone knowing all things. So God knows everything. God is everywhere. So his position is very great. One should be very humble. Except the subordinate position. But nevertheless, we are spiritual. We are parts and parcels of God. We have our connection with God. We are to be also respected. All living entities are to be respected. They are spirit soul within the body. Of course, one has to be sensible. Someone who is attacking and, you know, trying to kill someone else. If someone were to break in here and just attacking all the devotees, then we have to take the action. although God is within him and he is the soul, but now he's abusing, now he's causing trouble, so therefore we have to take the act. We don't say, oh yes, just come, break the deity, break the door, break the temple, do anything you like, kill this one. Kill. No, yeah, God is there with him. Don't be foolish. One time Prabhupada had to explain, I remember in his room, about he gave the example of the devotee said, if everything is Krishna's, then, you know, then we can, everyone can just use anyone else's, you know, because everything is Krishna. If I think everything is Krishna, then I will just take this one's dhoti, that one's sari. Everything is Krishna's. No. There was one devotee who just came to the temple one time and just drove off in the temple car. And then when he came back to the temple president, why you just took the temple car? Like, everything is Krishna's. It's all Krishna's. Not like that. There has to be some intelligence. And Prabhupada explained one, just like this watch. He said, this watch, I am wearing this watch. Now everything is Krishna's, but God has given me this watch so I can use in his service. Doesn't mean you can come and just take this, because God has given it to me to use in his service. So you should respect that God has given it to me. Not I just take it. Suppose I just went to Prabhupada, took his watch. There was one funny story in Kenya when Prabhupada went one time, they did the laundry, and then when Prabhupada was giving lecture, he just noticed that someone was wearing his kurta and someone was wearing because they had just taken from the line and just started, the brahmachari just started wearing it. I don't know exactly if they knew it was Prabhupada or within, but anyway, he just noticed. So they're not like that. You can't just help yourself to someone other than Krishna. Is it? You can't help yourself to someone because Krishna has given that thing for them. That is their property. Of course, it's God's property, but Krishna has given to them to use. And we should respect that Krishna has given to them. Just like the rich man. You just can't go to the rich and take everything. And you know, Krishna has given to him. You respect that. You don't steal from that man. God has given to him. God has given to me something else. I should just be satisfied. Don't be envious. And this is mentioned here. Don't be envious. If you're envious, you can't have friendly behavior with anyone. Here, Lord Kapila says, have friendly behavior with... But if you're envious, how you can have the friendly behavior? You're just envying, you can become angry. You can't be friendly. You won't be able to be friendly. Maybe superficially, you'll put on show of friendly, but actually you won't be able to be friendly because you're envious. You're thinking against that person, how you can be friendly with that person. So you can't be friendly. So therefore, the envy has to be conquered over. Actually, it is said envy comes from the pride, and then the pride comes from the ignorance. So when pride and ignorance can be conquered over by true knowledge and application of that knowledge, practice of that knowledge in one's lifestyle. So Lord Kapila Dev gives very nice instructions here to Devahuti, who asks very wonderful questions, again showing what a great devotee she is. Prabhupada glorified, so the great Devahuti, he says, and you know, and Prabhupada has given teachings of Queen Kunti and he glorified. So some of these Vaishnavis so elevated. So Lord Kapila Dev is giving wonderful, and by doing acting in this way, here Lord Kapila, one should propitiate me in this way, being friendly, giving charity, respecting all the creatures because God is within them, the soul is within them. So in this way, propitiate means that you glorify me, you worship me in this way. This is how you worship me, by acting like this. And if you don't act like that and see a separation between one thing or another thing, then you're not on the high levels of devotional service, but you're on the lower rungs of devotional service. But one should aspire to go to the higher levels of devotional service, and by following these instructions, understanding these things very well, then one can make very nice advancement. I'll read this verse again. Atamam sarva bhuteshu bhutatmanam kitalayam ahayedanamanabhyam maitrabhinena chakshushap. Therefore, through charitable gifts and attention, as well as through friendly behavior, and by viewing all to be alike, one should propitiate me, who abide in all creatures as their
as their very self.
Any questions or comments? Yes.
You were mentioning that we should not take from a rich person because God has given it to him. Like God has given
at, it. At what person?
To a rich person.
Oh, rich person. Yes, he was able to, because his position ultimately was the arrangement, we know, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in that how Jai-Vijay came there and everything like that, and how they were mistreated. Ultimately, the Yogamaya came over all of them, and God wanted to arrange something like that, so they were born as the sons of Diti, Kasyapa and Diti. And so their rich position, it was given by God, but because they abused, which was, then it was taken away ultimately. So someone gets, just like Prabhupada would say, the Queen of England, she is like the richest, she's got so many things. That means she must have been so pious in her previous life that God has given her that thing. Now what she does in this life with that thing will determine what happens in the future with her. Can some reaction can come immediately or can come later in the life or in the next life. So, but anyone who's got the wealth, no matter if they're acting like Asura now, previously they must have done some very religious activity to be in the very high position, whether it's wealth or whether it's a powerful position or high education. And they may be acting like Asura, but previously they're given that because of their previous activity. Now they've got it. Now they're abusing, so in due course of time, they'll get the reactions for that. Just like Hiranyakashipu got his reaction for that. Of course, his was a special situation, and even he was killed by Lord Nrisingadev, so he got the liberation when they came back again. But normally, if someone is very rich, someone is very beautiful, these things especially, Janmeshwara, Shruta, Ashibi, these four categories, high family, big family, big aristocratic, high, big name family. You take your birth like that because of your pious activities. Or if you become very rich, pious activities. Or if you're very beautiful woman, handsome man, you did some pious activities. And a high education, you did some pious activities to be able to be so highly educated. Sometimes one has all these things. Beauty, education, rich, big family, has all those. So that person is very, very pious in the former life. Now, in this life, they may be acting and abusing, so that some reaction will come to them. Yes, Prabhu. Something of the temple? Nibandha Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Varagya Mucchate. You know, there's one verse by Rupa Goswami. Whatever comes, we understand that is given to me by Krishna. And we have to practice of the Yukta Varagya. Utilize it in his service with a spirit of detachment. We just utilize, God has given me this thing, I'm utilizing in his service. God has given me, maybe God will take it away, up to him. But now God has given me, I'm going to utilize in his service. So, but always understand that actually it is owned by Krishna. Krishna, it is given to me by Krishna and I'm using it and it is always Krishna's. It is actually never mine. Just temporarily I have that thing and I'm using it in his service. Nibandha Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Varagya Muchit Prapanchikatiya Buddha Hari Sambandha Vashtanama Mukhribi Parajit Varagyam Kalpa Parajit. This is one of the famous verses that Prabhupada would quote a lot. From Rupa Goswami in regard to what should be the mentality of the Vaishnava. So utilize things. But one has to be careful. Some things, unless one is a very great devotee, who can utilize everything in Krishna's service, some things one has to be careful about, like when we're neophyte devotees, you know, a lot of money or something, like maybe you'll get your head all turned, you know, and you won't use it in Krishna, you'll start using it. But anyway, even if it comes to you, then if you don't use it, then Krishna will adjust it for you. in his own time, he'll adjust it for you. Because Krishna always wants to see the devotee advance. So maybe he'll give you, but maybe you don't use it properly, so Krishna may adjust it. Yes. Any other question? Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Balabhava Bhagwan ki jai, Gopremanandi Hari Hari Bol.